years ago we came to be missionaries to England.
And we've stayed ever since. They wouldn't let us back in, actually. No, it's great. And it's great. Thank you for such a great welcome. I end up traveling to lots of churches. And trust me, you don't always get as good a welcome as this. So thank you very much. I don't know if it's because you're Pentecostals like myself. But thank you very much. I'm one of the elders in Elam Church Crawley, which is in Ifield. Some of you drive past that quite regularly. So I'm one of the leaders there, part of the ministry team. And part of my responsibilities is to manage the debt centre. But really encouraged this morning to hear your heart for missions. It's kind of something that I believe in very strongly. The last 25 years I've been travelling to Sri Lanka, India. I'll tell you about Pakistan in a moment. That's an interesting one. And various parts of Europe, Macedonia. It's quite interesting when you're standing in Macedonia and reading out scripture, talking about the Macedonian churches. Something very powerful in that. So we have a real heart for mission and opportunity. We started our own charity, just a small charity really, to facilitate some of that missions work. Someone contacted us. We had several contacts from Pakistan. People wanting, had heard some of my teaching through our website and various other people. And they said, would you do something in Pakistan? I said, well, I'm willing to pray about that, have a look at that. And I applied for a visa and they wouldn't give it to me. Don't know why. Don't know, it's because of my Irish, I don't know. So came back to the pastor and he said, well, can we try something different? I said, yep, let's see what we can do. He said, well, let's try Skype. Have you heard of Skype? But yeah, most of you have heard of Skype. So I said, does anyone else do this with you? He said, no one else was willing to take the risk. I said, okay, well, it's less risky than being in Pakistan. So let's try that. And we've done several meetings, a pastor's conference. And last time I spoke via Skype, I was sitting in my living room on the computer. And we hired some equipment, lights, PA, all the rest of it. So I logged on at the proper time. They'd had some worship. They'd done a bit of a program. I logged on. We did sound check. And they said, okay, preach. So I preached. And 189 people made a commitment to follow Christ. And 12 people claimed healing. Absolutely amazing, and that's been a pattern that's been repeated a few times now. So we're going out into these Muslim villages, people who sometimes have never heard the gospel before. So God isn't bound by visas, He isn't bound by geographical limitations, and He's certainly not bound by the fact that I'm Irish. God can use even a donkey, huh? And so he's okay with the Irish. So I have another one this Friday, preaching via Skype to another village. So there really is a harvest in the world. There is an opportunity for the gospel. So it's great that your heart is for that as well. Whether that's Africa, India, wherever it is, God has a harvest. Just because we don't see those numbers or those miracles in this country doesn't mean to say God isn't at work. He is at work in lots of other places. So, just as an encouragement to you. We do have some literature. They say there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, we have some free literature out there for you. There's half a dozen books, first come, first served. Some of them tell a little bit of the story in the background of CAP. It's a challenging read, I warn you. But if you want stretched and stirred in your faith, then there's books out there for you to read. There's some prayer requests just on one sheet. There's a little sign-up sheet if you'd like to receive an email roughly monthly that you can just read to keep you updated about the work of CAP and to receive the prayer stuff. It's there. Also, if you'd like to get involved after we've talked today, there's a simple little sign-up sheet. Please do talk to myself or my wife afterwards. There is a great need. But there is a great opportunity, and I'll share some of that with you as we go through today. So let me pray. Father, we thank you that there is a harvest field. We thank you, God, that there is an opportunity. We don't have to go to Africa. We don't have to go to India. We know there's a harvest field in Crawley. We know there's opportunities in Crawley. We know that Crawley needs the gospel. So Father, we pray you'd help us understand and respond to what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name. I don't think it's just me, and I don't think it's just a guy thing, but too often we get blind to things that are familiar, don't we? Come on, guys, I've been married 25 years this year. We just celebrated 25 years. And I know I'm in trouble when your wife says to you, "Have you not noticed?" Yeah, whether that's hairdo, dress, or something else. Come on, guys, anyone else want to own up to that? Or ladies, when you're not impressed with his new gadget at the torque speed or the gigabyte or whatever it is, and it just kind of goes over your head, and the guys are really excited about this. Because we can come very blind to those things, can't we? We get familiar with them, or we're not sure of certain perspectives. And I think that's true with the disciples in the passage we're going to read together. The disciples often failed to grasp the perspective of Jesus, didn't they? He was shocked at times by their unbelief, by their lack of faith. The only time Jesus was ever amazed in the New Testament was either by someone's belief or lack of belief. They didn't always grasp, they didn't always understand. And in the conversation we're going to dip into today, Jesus is talking to someone that absolutely scandalized the disciples. You may know the story, John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. And of course, if you know anything about the history, there was a lot of hostility. The Samaritans were seen as a half-breed. They were seen as the mongrel race. So Jewish people, certainly Jewish men and Jewish rabbis, would never have spoken to this woman. And so the disciples come back and they find it scandalous that Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman. And Jesus has to enlighten them on God's perspective on people. So if you have your Bible, we're in John chapter 4. I'm reading from the NIV. Anyone use the NIV? Of course, as you know, Colin, that's the Northern Ireland version. Did you not know that? And maybe you didn't know this as well. Did you know that Jesus was Irish? No, he was. Trust me. In the NIV version, Matthew 17, verse 11, it says, "Jesus replied, 'To be sure.'" So we know Jesus was Irish. Here he is speaking in John chapter 4. Let's pick up at verse 34. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." And that's probably enough for now. I want to kind of weave some of the stuff about Cap into this passage, because I do firmly believe, I've seen God work both in the UK and internationally. I believe we're living in exciting times of harvest. Now, I also believe that there's times of persecution and there's times of difficulty for the church ahead, even in this country. I don't think it's either or, truthfully. In Scripture, I don't think it's all blessing and all harvest and all revival and all those other things that people pray for. And I don't think it's all doom and gloom either. I think the wheat and the tares always grow together. And I think it's always the church prospering in the midst of difficulty. If you're not sure about that, read the book of Revelation. What is the message to all the churches? To him who overcomes. So I'm afraid I'm not a doom and gloom merchant, because I know Jesus wins in the end. I know in the midst of difficulty, there is an opportunity for harvest. There is an opportunity for God to work. So what does that mean for us as church, as the church in Crawley? What does it mean for us? I think the starting point is it means working in partnership with others. Isn't that what Jesus said? One gathers, one reaps, one sows. It's working together. Your church cannot reach all of Crawley any more than mine. Because you know what your church has in common with mine? They're staying away in their thousands. Have you noticed that? They're staying away, even with your extension, even with the work that you're doing, even with your desire to impact the community. We know not everyone will come. Not everyone will respond. So your church alone and my church alone cannot do it. So we actually need one another. We need to work in partnership with one another. We need to honour one another. We need to be developing ministry together. And that's always God's order. There is no other way. What does Jesus say to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 20? And all Pentecostals should know this one. And the Lord worked with them, confirming his words, signs following. The Lord worked with them. As we've heard today, it's not just our responsibility, but we should be responding. We should be working together in partnership. God calls us to work in partnership with one another. Many of us will probably know Philippians 1 verse 6, but because we can quote it, that God who begun a good work in us will also bring it to completion. But that's not just for an individual. That's also corporate. Philippians chapter 1, he said in all verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. See, God is interested in completing work, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But not just as an individual, but us as a church working together. And that's why connection groups are so important. Because the enemy can pick us off if we're isolated. The enemy can cause doubt and discouragement if we're isolated. We need one another. We need the partnership of one another. In fact, Paul says in Colossians, he talks about Epaphras. He says Epaphras is wrestling in prayer for you until you become mature in the will of God. What a great ministry to have. You know, some of you may think, well, I can't go to Africa and I can't go to India and I'm not great on Skype. Don't trust me on that. That's okay. Maybe some of you are prayer warriors. Maybe some of you, your partnership is on your knees. Do you know James in the Bible was called camel knees? Why was that? Because his knees were hard because of the amount of time he spent in prayer. Folks, don't worry if you can't go to India or Africa. Let people like me with a big mouth go. That's fine. But you pray. You be involved in the partnership of the gospel. Paul valued the prayers of other people. Paul talks in Colossians chapter 4. He provides a whole list of people who provided support through encouragement and prayer. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6, it's the same God who works in all of these. Whatever your gift is, and I believe there is a spiritual gift of intercession. It's not just the nine gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. Scripture probably talks at least 27 gifts. You read, including the gifts of craftsmanship in Exodus 31. You need someone not just to preach, but to open up the building, look after the building. All of those things, great gifts. Gift of helps, gifts of service, gifts of mercy, gifts of giving, gifts of leadership, gifts of all important gifts. So it's not just those nine gifts, but Paul makes a point. It's God who works in all of those things. So whatever your gift is, it contributes to the body of Christ. God says he works in all of them. In fact, Paul says, listen, some of you like Apollos, some of you like Peter, some of you say you belong to Jesus, some of you like me. He says, what are we? We're only servants. We're only servants who are appointed a task. And God has called you into partnership. Part of that partnership certainly is that we shine as stars in the universe. Isn't that what he said to the Philippians church? Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. Shine like stars as we hold out the word of life. What a great ministry to see yourself as. Shining as stars as we hold out the word of life. You know, I see it repeatedly in the work that we're doing through CAP. I see the hopelessness. I see the despair. There's a young lady we've been helping. We just went to her within the last couple of weeks. And basically what we do is we go over a number of visits. I'll explain some more in a minute. But we go over a number of visits and we try to get to the point where we get them a budget that they can actually live with. Most people's finances are chaotic. They don't know. For example, would you know how much is in your bank account today? Most people don't. Most people don't have that order, that control. They kind of set up standing orders, or they pay for stuff and they forget it, and they're paying too much, and they don't change their gas or their electric or their phone to get a better deal. And so suddenly they're out of control. And most of the people I'm dealing with are out of control. And this young girl has mental health problems. And I tried for four months to get her paperwork. Sometimes she didn't take her medication, so she spiraled down. And just last week when we went in, we presented the budget. And it's a complicated scenario because on her current income, it would take her 18 and a half years to pay off her debt. That's not manageable. That's not practical. So we're probably going to have to take her through some form of bankruptcy. But it's a complicated situation because she part owns a house with her brother. And so you can imagine what people are struggling with. She was laid off from work because she was off sick so much with mental health. Then she's got these debts. Then the complication of the health. But we've seen over those visits really just a sense of hope coming into her life. She said, I know I can start 2016 with a fresh opportunity. Because God's a God of hope. Romans 15 verse 13. That by the power of the Holy Spirit we can overflow with hope. We have a message of hope. I can think of another couple. I'm going to see them this week. Lovely couple. Portuguese couple. And last time I went to visit them, I said, we're going to pray. We pray every visit. And often people will let us put our hands on the shoulder, lay hands on them. A Muslim man let me do that this week. He let me lay hands on him and pray in the name of Jesus. People have no problem with that, honestly. This idea that people won't let you pray for them, it's nonsense. If you're gracious and you're sensitive, people want you to pray because they believe if there is a God, he can do something. He's a God of hope. And so we prayed for this couple, and I said, I'd like to pray for you again. She says, this is the best bit. She did. Amazing. She wouldn't let us go without praying. And their situation is tragic. So often we have the stereotype in church that it's people got into this mess through their own fault. Isn't that true? Sometimes that's what we think. And sometimes we think it's single mothers living on benefits, and I've heard it unkindly said, sponging off the state. And I've heard that reaction even from Christians. Well, let me give you an example. And that may be true in some circumstances, but honestly, it's very little, it's very rare. Most people don't want to be in debt. Most people want to provide for their family. And this couple, he had worked full-time. He was a chef, had worked in the company for almost 13 years. He had a fall at their property. He fell down a flight of stairs that was concrete. And he ended up with a severe head injury, in a coma for 26 days. Miracle that he was alive, but has ended up with a severe brain injury. And he's paralyzed all down his left side. His wife seemed to be getting a little bit, just turn me down a little. His wife had to give up work in order to look after him. She had worked full time as well. It took them over a year to sort out their benefits. Meanwhile, the debts are building up. But I'm going this week to say they can be debt free in 1 year and 11 months. Isn't that amazing? Just bringing that sense of hope. And it's the church. And because of you guys have contributed to the work of CAP, because you allowed us, you contributed, we're able to go in on your behalf to pray for people, to present the gospel. We leave them with literature. We pray for them. We invite them to church. We have an Alpha course happening in the new year. They'll get an invitation to that as well. Because of your contribution and your partnership, we're reaching the community with the gospel. Isn't that great to know? And do you know the best thing is? They're inviting us into their homes. Because the thing about harvesting, I don't know if you've noticed, God never said, build bigger barns and ask for a strong wind. Now, it's great that you're building a bigger property. It's fantastic. We have a building and we're doing work on it too. But that's not how you harvest, is it? How do you harvest? You go in out into the fields. CAP is a fantastic way to get out into the harvest field. Because they ring up the free phone number and said, would you please come and visit us and tell us how to get out of debt? And I say, we are Christians against poverty. You know that. We are Christians and we're against poverty. But we're Christians, so we're going to pray for you. And we're going to talk to you about our faith. We're going to tell you our testimony. And everyone says, that's fine. No one has objected. And so this is a great opportunity to be part. And we'll talk a little bit later about how you can get involved. But I want to thank you for your partnership in the gospel that has allowed us on your behalf to go into people's homes and present the gospel. It's fantastic. It's hard work. Trust me, it is hard work, but it's a great privilege to be able to do that. We also work in partnership with people like Easter Team and Open House. I know that's people you've done. Easter Team have been fantastic because at times we've had clients. I had one client, and I rang him up beforehand just to confirm the appointment. And I said to him, do you need any food? He said, yes. So we brought him several bags of food. And he said, can I make you a cup of tea? I said, oh, that would be nice. Because I know I'm going to be there for about 3 hours, mostly talking and listening to their story. And he got up and then he realized, I can't. And it didn't twig with me until then why we were sitting in the dark. We were sitting in the dark because he had no gas and electricity. So he couldn't even offer us. And that's where we were able to get the Easter Team in and just put electricity and gas. Because even when we give food, 25% of the people, you'll see it in a minute, 25% of the people don't have the gas and electricity to cook the food anyhow. So there are desperate needs. We don't have to go to Africa or India or any of these other countries that I've travelled to see desperate need. It actually exists in Crawley. In 21st century Britain, these are the needs. And so we're working with people like Open House and Easter Team to actually get involved. So continue their support of them. They're good people. Next slide, please. So people often ask, what are some of the reasons that people get into debt? And there is those stereotypes. 22% of people, it's low income. So I could take you to lots of families today where the husband is working two, sometimes three jobs in order to try and make ends meet. But it just isn't enough money. We all know this is an expensive area in which to live, huh? When we first came to the south of England, we've worked in some tough places. Belfast, inner city Manchester. We were there pastoring a church for almost 7 years. And when we came to the south of England, we thought, oh, this is going to be nice. Because in the south of England, no one has problems, Colin, do they? Everyone is a millionaire and has big houses. And of course, we know that's not true, is it? It's a tough area to live. So low income is a big problem. Sometimes people do have problems with the budgeting. And if you're not involved in the CAP money course, there's some literature out there. We run it 4 times a year. You could get trained up. Since April this year, we've run it 9 times in the community, in family centres and some other places. There is a tremendous opportunity. The council have given us so much favour. It's incredible. I had a meeting with a girl this week who basically said to me, we'd like you to ask us for more money so that you can help people. So I said, I think I can do that. So I sent an email off this week asking for £5,000 to help us get this message out. If any of you would like to be involved, it's a very simple training course. It's very easy to do. Honestly, this can reach the community in a way that nothing else that I've seen. And we do Alpha. We love outreach. I do it locally and internationally. I love it. But CAP is a great opportunity to get involved with people. There's literature out there. Please take it. And all our numbers are there. It is relationship breakdown. It is unemployment. It can be long-term illness. Some people, it is addiction. Only 4%, it's actually overspending. And that may surprise some of you. The problem for most people is that they have too much month left at the end of their money. Some of you just got that. You're getting there. Bereavement. Do you know, that affects people. When suddenly you only have one income and all those issues. Mental health, I think locally it's higher than 2%. It is a massive problem. And if any of you have family members or know people struggling with that, mental health is the Cinderella of the NHS. It's so desperately underfunded. And for people, it can be accidents as well. So there's lots of reasons that people can get into debt. But the good news is, we have a solution. Not only as Christians, but bringing hope and the message of what Christ does, but also the fact that we can get them out of debt. Survey of the CAP clients, that 76% suffered relationship problems. 23% said it caused a failure. 23% of our clients miss meals regularly because of debt. I know of one family where basically for 3 or 4 days a week, the parents haven't eaten in order to feed the kids. That's not uncommon. 42% have gone to the doctors and they ended up on prescribed medication. If you've never been in debt, you cannot imagine the pressure. Sometimes people are getting 30, 40 phone calls a day. I spoke to someone yesterday who said that they'd had, on Friday, sorry, that they'd had 20 phone calls in an hour from a company harassing them over their debt. And that was one company. And she has 9 secondary creditors after her money. She said, once CAP came in, they've stopped ringing. They've stopped sending the letters. Now they're dealing with CAP. Can you imagine the pressure that takes off people? 36% thought suicide was the only reasonable way out. 25% couldn't afford to cook a meal because they had no money to put on the gas or electric meters. This is the reality of life. And it's only through churches like yourself giving and participating and individuals giving and participating that we can actually do this work and help these people. Secondly, for us to accept God's invitation to harvest means finishing God's work. Jesus said it in John 4, verse 34. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We're coming up to Christmas, but as Christians we know Christmas leads to Easter. And we know that Jesus, the Bible says he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. Jesus knew what he came for. It wasn't a song and dance routine. It wasn't the angels just singing joy to the world. He knew what he was going to face. Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross with all its shame. Jesus knew what he was coming to. And he knew he had a work to do. In fact, on the cross, what did he cry? It is finished. The debt has been paid in full. Jesus knew that he had a work to do. And he said in John chapter 4, do you know what? John chapter 9 verse 4, we must work while it's day. Folks, I'm not a merchant of doom and gloom, but I honestly believe we're living in the last of the last days. When you look at recent events in the world, come on, what's it going to take for us to waken up? But do you know what? Even if it isn't, it's our last days. Because we have no other days. Isn't that true? Even if it's not the last days and Jesus doesn't come back next week, it's our last days because we have no other time. We have no other opportunity. We must work while it's day. The Bible is very clear. Today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the day. So I really want to encourage you to see that you as a church have a work to complete. That you as an individual, Paul writes to a man called Archippus in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And in my Bible, it's actually in quotation marks. I don't know if it is in your Bible, but mind what it says. Colossians 4, verse 17, it says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. My Bible has quotation marks. I wonder, was that a prophetic word into Archippus' life? I wonder at some point, had someone prayed over him and prophesied? I wonder at some point, had he heard from God, Archippus, this is your ministry, this is the work you have to do, but maybe a little bit of discouragement had come in. Maybe he was feeling defeated. Maybe he was feeling disillusioned. Maybe other Christians had said, oh, Archippus, you'll never do that. Do you know what? It's the Christians who cause more discouragement than the non-Christians. Have you noticed that? Can we be honest about that in church today? I don't have problems with non-Christians for prayer. It's the Christians that give me the most problems. And actually, cap know nationally that Christians are harder to get debt-free than non-Christians. It's true. They present more problems than non-Christians. So I wonder, did Archippus face discouragement from others in the church? Say, oh, yeah, we know Archippus. Yeah, he's grown up in the church. He's never going to amount to anything type stuff. That can be said in churches, can't it? We can put people in the box. We can discourage people. We can tell people very discouraging thing that causes doubt. Paul comes to Archippus and says, you have a work to complete. And I want to encourage you today. Just go back one slide. I want to encourage you today. Maybe God's spoken into your life. Maybe you know there's a sense of calling. We need the same attitude of Jesus. We need the attitude that says, I have a work to complete. I have a work to do. And I'm going to set my face as a flint. Complete the work even in the face of misunderstanding. Do you know one thing I've learned about ministry? When you try to serve God, you will be misunderstood. You will be misunderstood. If you think that everyone's going to go, oh, we think this is wonderful, you should really do this, then look at the life of Jesus. Remember when his mothers and brothers came and tried to say, Jesus, listen, come on, take it easy, man. Relax. Don't be so intense. Don't be so passionate about this stuff. And Jesus said, who are my mothers and brothers? Those who do the will of God. He faced misunderstanding. He faced opposition, even from among his own. Those who came to did not receive him. Isn't that what John says, John 1:12? They didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. Even in the face of rejection, they ultimately rejected him. The religious leaders who should have known from the Old Testament what Messiah would come and do, they rejected him. So please don't get this idea that doing the will of God, you're going to have angels river dancing at the edge of your duvet. It may not happen like that. But there's a work God has for you to do. Will you complete it? Will you go for it? There's a challenge, isn't it? Maybe some of you thought you were coming for a nice little message today. I don't know. Sorry about that. You won't have to listen to me again. I go back to my own church next week. Complete the work God has given you to do. Let's move on. So what has God called us to do as church in Crawley? Here's some verses that talk about dealing with the poor, dealing with those who are vulnerable. It is about preaching good news. It is about setting the captives free. And if you read in Luke, Luke has a number of interests. This is a whole different sermon, but Luke has a number of interests. Luke is very concerned about women. Women have a great and high value in the Gospel of Luke. Because they didn't in Jewish society. Sorry, ladies. You wouldn't even have been educated. You wouldn't have really been taught in the same way as the men. And you wouldn't have had the opportunities that you do today. So Luke has a real interest in women. He's an interest in prayer. He's an interest in the Holy Spirit. But he also has an interest in those who are poor. Luke is committed, God says, to the poor. Proverbs 19, verse 17. I think this is a wonderful verse. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. What is it? Jesus says, even a cup of cold water given in his name earns a reward. You'll never be in debt to God if you're generous to the poor. You'll never be in debt to God if you're sacrificial and giving and look to those who are most vulnerable. Complete the work that God has given you. Next slide, please. Third, final point today. For us to accept God's invitation to harvest means recognizing that the time is now. Today is the day of salvation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6. But in the previous verse he says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Now, isn't that interesting? That when he's talking about opportunities, when he's talking about days of salvation, when he's talking about harvest, he says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. That's not simply about backsliding and those who've left the church. And receiving the grace of God in vain means that we don't recognize the opportunities that we have, that we don't recognize the times and seasons. In fact, Luke says it, one of the most saddest scenes, they didn't recognize the time of his visitation. Do we as Christians recognize the time? Do we recognize the opportunity? Jesus didn't wait until the disciples were all mature and perfect. In fact, look at Peter. I love Peter. Because Peter only ever opened his mouth to change feet. Didn't he? I can identify with that. How many times I've gotten in trouble just by opening my mouth. You know, he has this great revelation. You're the Messiah, the Son of God. And the next sentence Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. We have that capacity, don't we, of great passion for God and then a great wanderings. Come on, that's our heart. We know that. Even David, a man after God's own heart, messed up. So if you're waiting until you're spiritually mature before you serve God, then I have news for you. Jesus is going to come back before then. You're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. As long as you're on the way. We are people of the way. Yeah? We're people of the way. Let's keep moving forward and God can use you. Recognizing the time is not. I remember when I was passing one church and it was my first ministerial get together. They call it a fraternal. And it was my first one and so I had said to myself, behave. As you may have noticed, I do get into trouble. And I sometimes say things that get me into trouble. And I said to myself, okay, David, just relax. It's your first one. Just be nice. Play nice. So we had this group together and everyone's talking and, you know, very pleasant group of people. And they were talking about doing a mission in the town. And I could see where this was heading. So we wanted to do a joint mission together and some people thought it was a good idea. And then I could see it was starting to go downhill. One or two negative comments, one or two, well, you know. And I could feel my missionary heart starting to get stirred. You know, if any of you, where are you from? You're not from around here either. Yeah. So where me and him come from, we call a spade, yeah? So we tend to be honest and upfront about stuff. So I could see where this was heading and I thought, And he was, I could see the negative stuff coming in and I could see the energy sapping out of the room and I could see we were going to lose this opportunity. So for 20 minutes, I listened to all the reasons why we couldn't and why we shouldn't. And in the end, I said, do you not like Popeye? I can't stands anymore. Do you remember that? I didn't have my spinnies, but I had a Popeye moment. I said, guys, enough. Have you not read what Jesus said? The harvest is now. Are we going to wait for a better time? Because Jesus says there is no better time. Are we going to wait for a better opportunity? Ecclesiastes says, if you wait for a better opportunity, you'll never harvest. That season will never come. If you're waiting for a more convenient time, I've news for you. It never comes. The time is now. Honestly, folks, whatever that means for you as a church, whatever that means for you as an individual, do not wait until a more convenient time, because you will never find it. Do you remember as a kid on the bike and you came to a hill? Do you remember what you had to do? You had to stand on the pedals. Do you know what? Sometimes as Christians we have to stand on the pedals. We have to stand on the pedals. Forget our comfort, forget our convenience. Because here's the thing I know about harvest. It involves inconvenience. And truthfully, I don't know you, so it's not anything against you as individuals. But in my experience with Christians, we don't want to be inconvenienced. Is that true, Colin? We don't want to be inconvenienced. Harvest means two things. It means involvement and it means inconvenience. But we signed up for that, did we not? When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, he didn't lend it to us. He didn't say that we hand it back when it's not convenient anymore. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Folks, I hope this isn't a hard word. I hope, you know, you're getting my heart in this. I hope you're seeing the passion I have for this, because I know it makes a difference. And I know the days we're living in. And I know the church needs to rise up. Paul said in Ephesians, wake up, O sleeper. That's not a message to the world. That's a message to the church. Waking up, realize that the opportunities are now. God's call is the call for harvest. Here's the challenge. Will you do something about it? Next slide. How can you help? See, when I preach, and the guys in Crawley know this, when I preach, I don't preach for information, I preach for transformation. So I'm not here to give you more bits of knowledge that you go away and say, oh, that was nice. I'm here so that you respond and do something. I preach for response. So what might that mean for you? It might mean simply getting some info. You can sign up. There's a sign-up sheet with your email. If you're putting your email, please put it legibly. You'll get once a month a little email that'll tell you a little bit of update, a little bit of a prayer request sheet. It's not onerous. We're not going to spam you. You're not going to get lots of stuff. It's one sheet that always comes out. We have a prayer meeting once a month on a Thursday lunchtime, if any of you are around. We won't hassle you. The info's there. We need you to pray. So get the info. And that's our second point. Go to God in prayer. You know, of course we need finance. We'll talk about that in a minute. But really, we need God's people to pray. We can't do anything without praying, because it is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle. It's intense. Honestly, this cap work is the most intense work I've done in 25 years of ministry. So we do need your prayers. We do need your support. Please take it on board. Giving. Now that's always a difficult one. Because pastors, when they're here, Jim's not here this morning, but I'm sure he'll hear about this. Pastors always get nervous when you talk about giving. But don't worry, I've been a pastor, I'm a local church leader, I understand you have a building project. All that I ever say to people is go to God first. Go to God first. You've got to support your local church. Your tithe belongs to the local church. And then after that, go to God and say, God, what do you want me to support? As you know, I travel all over the world. I support missions. We do that stuff. But as you said, there's needs in Crawley. There's stuff that needs to happen in Crawley as well. That's our community. That's our Jerusalem, isn't it? That's where we need to be involved. Paul says to the Corinthians that you gave yourselves first of all to the Lord. He talked to them about sacrificial giving. I wish the Macedonian churches today followed their example. They don't. They're not very good at this principle now. But it's a biblical principle that we give. And sometimes that we give sacrificially. And the principle comes out of giving yourself first to the Lord. So if you can give and continue to give as a church, I would encourage you. But please don't feel pressure about that. Don't feel that, oh, he's coming, it's a hard sell. That's not my heart, that's not my spirit. What I would ask you to do is go first of all to God and ask God. That's what the Bible seems to say. And then here's the easy one. Get involved. Get involved. Whether that's coming to the prayer meetings, whether that's doing admin, whether that's becoming a befriender. Do you know, if any of you have a heart for evangelism, get involved. Because it's a great opportunity to go out and witness and share with people, provide a positive solution, both practically and spiritually. Maybe there's other areas. Maybe it is publicity. Maybe it is visiting. Maybe it is part of the social team. Maybe you could host an event for some of our clients. You're great at welcoming. We beat the welcome team today, so I get brownie points. But I'm sure that's not normal. I always get here very early. But you have a great welcome team. Maybe you could host an event for CAP clients. There's lots of things. Here's the thing. If your heart's in it, you find a way, don't you? People find a way for what they really want to do, usually. Might take a little bit of work, might take a little bit of time, might take a little bit of reorganization. But usually, where there's a heart for it, there is a way. So I really want to encourage you today. Thank you for what you have done already. Thank you for the great invitation to come here. But there's a greater invitation. It's the one Jesus gave us. It's the invitation, the harvest. I want to encourage you as individuals to respond to his word today. I want to encourage you as a church really to get on board, to impact your community, to be involved, to make a difference. Maybe you think, do you know what? Well, it's only little old me. I can't really make a difference. I've traveled all over. And one of the things I've noticed is mosquitoes. Here's a quote for you. I've said this lots of places. If you think you're too small to make a difference, you've never been in bed with a mosquito. It's true, isn't it? Those pesky little things are tiny, but they can keep you up all night. One of my trips to India, I was bitten almost 200 times. I think they like white Irish fresh meat. They loved me. Inconvenient, certainly irritating, but so small to make a difference. Don't write yourself off, folks. Don't say we're too small as an individual, we're too small as a church. God's not impressed by numbers, really, is he? You can respond like Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Not here I am, send someone else. We've all prayed those prayers. But here I am, send me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of Jesus that just stir our hearts to believe that a harvest is possible, to believe that it's your heart for us to reach people. God, I pray that we would take on that encouragement today. I pray that we would take on that opportunity, and yes, even that challenge that it may present to us today. That we wouldn't put it off to a more convenient time, but that we would echo in our hearts the words of Isaiah, here I am, send me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.